You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Hi there. How are you? It's nice that you joined us this afternoon here on the Father's Quilt. Thank you so much. Right after the Holy Mass. Woohoo, that's great. So here we are. It's a lovely afternoon. Of course, I know we have winter, but let's make the best of it, right? Brothers and sisters, are you happy? Are you miserable? Well, either one. This broadcast is for you. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and we're going to be talking about the secret to happiness. We are all looking for happiness in this world and in the next. Jesus, God's word to us and to all humanity, is our teacher and guide on this quest. And the Sermon on the Mount, brothers and sisters, it contains the finest and most accessible teaching. And this sermon opens with the Beatitudes, which contradict the cultural values of Jesus' day by asserting that only those who are poor, mournful, meek, hungry for holiness, merciful, clean of heart, peacemakers, and persecuted are blessed in God's sight, fulfill the law of love, fear no condemnation, and are genuine Christians. Well, brothers and sisters, happy the people whose God is the Lord, taken from Psalm 144. Happy those whose help is Jacob's God, whose hope is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the stranger, sustains the orphan and the widow. Happy the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than profit in silver and better than gold in her revenue. She is more precious than corals. He who fears the Lord will have a happy end. Even on the day of his death, he will be blessed. Well, so, although it may surprise you, the answer to this question, the only way that we will ever be happy is to surrender to God's will. Well, that's it. No, it's not it. Although it may sound very simplistic, that is really the ultimate answer. If we are constantly doing what God wants us to do, we will be happy. But then, how does suffering fit into the picture? Well, obviously, we can't be happy while we are suffering, can we? Well, believe it or not, we can. And while it won't be that kind of giddy type of happiness that we feel when things are going great, we can experience a deep peace or joy, even while our world seems to be falling apart. So here's some things to consider that helps to help you make it through, even with the greatest of suffering. It is God's will. Nothing can happen to us without God's approval. Anything that happens in our lives is God's will. While it might not take away all of the pain, this knowledge can definitely help us to cope. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul makes it very clear that God can bring good out of all things, including pain and suffering. We may never fully understand the details, but the difficulties we experience are designed to help us to get to heaven. This is, through our suffering, brothers and sisters, this is an opportune moment to trust God. Anytime you are suffering, you are given a chance to trust the Lord. And over time, these opportunities can result in an increased faith. If everything is going smoothly in your life, why would you need to trust God? All earthly suffering, remember, brothers and sisters, is temporary. It will either be gone in this life or in the next. And when you die, your problems die right with you. The very fact that you know it won't last will make your cross a little lighter. When we suffer, we have the chance to participate in Christ's redemptive mission. Uniting our suffering with the suffering of Jesus allows us to put it to use. On the other hand, complaining about it causes us to waste our great opportunity. If we think that happiness can only be found in the absence of problems, well, guess what? We will never be happy. It is impossible to get through even one day without some degree of suffering or inconvenience. True happiness can only be found by embracing God's will, even when it involves suffering. So then, why are the Beatitudes a guide to happiness? Well, they have been described as our Lord's rules or laws for happiness. The language in the Sermon on the Mount harks back to the prophecy of Isaiah 61, the first 12 verses, where Isaiah writes about the restoration of Zion. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the lowly, to comfort all who mourn. Jesus quoted this passage of Isaiah at the outset of his Galilean ministry when he preached on the Sabbath to his townsmen and relatives in the synagogue. The eight Beatitudes have also been even thought by modern catechists as the Beatitudes, right? It sounds a little corny, but there are eight attitudes we need to strive for in the depths out of our own very being in order to be truly happy. Today, when we speak of mourning and mourners, we generally refer to grief over someone's death. But these words have a much wider meaning of sorrow over these other realities. There is very little mourning for sin in modern life, but there is plenty of mourning among people who have a wrong scale of values. There are people who mourn their lack of brains. Oh, I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. I'm not that fast. Their lack of beauty. Oh, I'm too fat. I'm too thin. I have gray hair, on and on. Their lack of money and their lack of position. Jesus teaches us that these values have little to do with true spiritual lasting happiness. The tremendous secret that Jesus teaches through the second beatitude is that happiness may be had in the midst of suffering and sorrow. This is because happiness, my friends, is not an end. It is a result. So then, what makes the beatitude so different? The world tells us, well, you know what the world tells you, don't you? The world tells you you're going to find true happiness as soon as you buy that Lexus. It says it's going to find happiness when you get that new SUV, Mustang. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it would make us a little happy, wouldn't it? But brothers and sisters, whether it's a career or a lot of money or getting the latest fashion or having a lot of fun. Yeah, it's nice, brothers and sisters. No one's saying you can't have a nice job and not and be miserable. You can be happy. Of course, the Lord wants you to be happy. But remember, brothers and sisters, it's not lasting happiness. It's not authentic happiness. It's man-made, right? The Beatitudes tells us that true happiness comes from self-sacrifice. Well, this message and putting others first, well, that message wasn't easier to accept in Jesus' time either than it is today. We must all come to the point when we acknowledge our spiritual poverty, and that we need to have complete dependence on God if we want to truly be happy. And then we can begin to understand why Jesus would say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." So let's not be lukewarm Catholics, right? Let's not be lukewarm. Let's realize that a life lived in the presence of the Lord, with the Lord, in tandem, is a life lived moment by moment with for no other reason than to please Him. A life that is meant to draw the world to Him. And that's my ultimate reason here on Radio Maria. That's mine. Why am I here? It's my way of serving God. It's my way of serving God. And I'm so humbled by being part of this wonderful family called the Radio Maria Canada family, the World Radio Maria family. It is a blessing. Wonderful book, brothers and sisters. Book that was written over 50 years ago, would you believe? But it's a great book, and it doesn't matter how old it is. Should I talk about the Bible? Right? It's called Way to Happiness, The Way to Happiness by Fulton Sheen. Oh, you have to find that book. Look for it on eBay or on Amazon or maybe in some of the Catholic bookstores. Definitely, The Way to Happiness, The Way to Happiness by Bishop Fulton Sheen, right? So, my friends, we have been told for so long that happiness is essentially the absence of sorrow and pain. So then you're happy. Oh, I'm not having... So to pursue this kind of version of happiness, well, it's a mirage, really. If this is what happiness is, then happiness would be fleeting and conditional. It wouldn't be centered on anything real at all. So let me tell you this. Happiness, my friends, is the joy of abiding in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So you would find evidence of this kind of happiness. Simply consider the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. And while we refer to them as joyful, if you or I were living them, we might consider renaming them. In the first mystery, the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel announced that Mary would be the mother of the Messiah. Mary says, "Let it be done unto me." And the next line reads, "Then the angel departed from her." Are you kidding? Talk about uncertainty. The second mystery is the Visitation, where a pregnant Mary travels days and days to visit Elizabeth. She has no guarantee that she's going to make that trip and return home safely. And then the third mystery, the Nativity, is even worse. Mary and Joseph have to make do in a stable and lay their newborn child in a feeding trough, while the local king is actively trying to kill him. Each of these joyful mysteries, brothers and sisters, is marked with uncertainty, suffering, and loss. And yet, they are also marked by joy, because God is real, and He is present and active. And because of this, every Christian Catholic can choose joy, no matter his or her circumstances. So, now do you want to know the secret to happiness, or do you know it? The answer is revealed in the Beatitudes. Do you want to be the best Catholic you can ever be? The Beatitudes will tell you how. Want to make Jesus happy? Well then, practice the doctrine of the Beatitudes. There are 8 simply stated yet profound guidelines Jesus revealed to his followers during his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus uses the words of the Beatitudes to paint a picture of what the true people of God look like, not physically, but morally and spiritually. The word beatitude is defined as a state of utmost bliss. The 8 Beatitudes are therefore the roadmap Jesus gives to each of us to help us find the utmost bliss in this world and in the next. Those who are not familiar with the Beatitudes may be taken aback when they read them and discover that the secret to happiness is hungering, thirsting, being persecuted for what is right, living meekly, mourning and being merciful. Is this right? Well, yes. I'm going to read for you from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And if you have one, I will read it and I will tell you where it is. On page, it's revised in accordance with the official Latin text by Pope John Paul II. I have mine on part 3, Life in Christ. And I am, on page 479, my little book, and it's 1723, article 1723, the Beatitude. Okay, let me go back up. Let's go 1721. God put us in the world to know, to love, and to serve him, and so to come to paradise. Beatitude makes us partakers of the divine nature and of eternal life. With beatitude, man enters into the glory of Christ and into the joy of the Trinitarian life. Such beatitude surpasses the understanding and powers of man. It comes from an entirely free gift of God, whence it is called supernatural. As is the grace that disposes man to enter into the divine joy. I'll read that little part too. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is true, because of the greatness and inexpressible glory of God, that man shall not see me and live. For the Father cannot be grasped. But because of God's love and goodness toward us, and because he can do all things, he goes so far as to grant those who love him the privilege of seeing him. For what is impossible for men is possible for God. The beatitude we are promised confronts us with decisive moral choices. It invites us to purify our hearts of bad instincts and to seek the love of God above all else. It teaches us that true happiness is not found in riches or well-being, in human fame or power, or in any human achievement, however beneficial it may be, such as science, technology, and art, or indeed in any creature. But in God alone, the source of every good and of all love. All bow down before wealth. Wealth is that to which the multitude of men pay an instinctive homage. They measure happiness by wealth, and by wealth they measure respectability. It is a homage resulting from a profound faith that with wealth, he may do all things. Wealth is one idol of the day, and notoriety is a second. Notoriety, or making of a noise in the world, it may be called newspaper fame, has come to be considered a great good in itself and a ground of veneration. So, in brief, The Beatitudes take up and fulfill God's promises from Abraham on by ordering them to the kingdom of heaven. They respond to the desire for happiness that God has placed in the human heart. The Beatitudes teach us the final end to which God calls us, the kingdom, the vision of God, participation in the divine nature, eternal life, filiation, rest in God. The beatitude of eternal life is a gratuitous gift of God. It is supernatural, as is the grace that leads us there. The beatitude confronts us with decisive choices concerning earthly goods. They purify our hearts in order to teach us to love God above all things. The beatitude of heaven sets the standards for discernment in the use of earthly goods in keeping with the law of God. I know that was long, brothers and sisters, but it's so important. The Beatitudes may be difficult for understand because they are the antithesis of everything that the world we live in pushes us to believe. That in order to be happy, we have to be rich. We have to own a huge home. We have to be physically attractive. We have to have an extensive wardrobe and etc. And like any bad habit, we have to break away from this thinking, brothers and sisters, truly, really, seriously, and follow instead the blueprint of the Beatitudes. And if we can do that, oh boy, we will have the full blessings of the kingdom of heaven to look forward to. So, my brothers and sisters, if we run out of time, which most likely we will, we will continue this into the Beatitudes, into, we'll call this part one, and next time we are together, it'll be part two. So I encourage you to share this broadcast with your friends and neighbors and, you know, people from church, because it's a really important one, isn't it? So then, let's consider, while time allows us, let us consider the meaning of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, right? So I have my little chapter here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Humility, my brothers and sisters, is realizing that all our gifts and all our blessings are given to us by God. There is nothing arrogant or self-righteous about someone who is truly humble. And furthermore, when we are humble, we acquire an inner peace that allows us to do the will of God. We don't have to brag. We don't have to tell someone we did something good for someone today. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, I've fallen into that trap. I don't know why I do that, but sometimes I've done that one. Oh, I did something for my mom, or I did something for the, what? You know, that's, I feel bad. I think, what are you doing? You know, come on. If you did it, you did it out of the goodness of your heart. And I did. I did it out of the goodness of my heart. But why have to tell somebody that? It's just almost, it's kind of have a sour taste to it, doesn't it? Right? So I don't know, maybe you have you ever fallen into that? You know, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Yeah, but guess what? The good Lord allowed you to accomplish that and to do whatever and complete whatever the journey you had to do. The next one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We are to mourn not only the violence and the hatred and injustices that are present in this world, but also our sins and the sins of others. And when we mourn, we open our heavy hearts to the Lord, and in turn, He comforts us. Even if we want to talk about the loss of those that we had, our loved ones, they shall be comforted, yes. But also to those people that are doing the wrong thing, that are creating such evilness in the world, we have to pray for them as well. we have to pray for them so that the Lord can do his work. And we can ask that through the intercession of our Blessed Mother and through any of the saints. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Well, meek doesn't mean that you're scared or you're frightful, you're shy. We are all meek in some way. To be meek is to have this spirit of gentleness and self-control. The meek aren't violent or vengeful or willing to exploit others. Well, the cell phone has done an awesome job of exploiting others, hasn't it? The cell phone has been number one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what is right, for they shall be satisfied. Jesus doesn't mean literally going without food or drink. Rather, he's referring to one's passion and drive to do God's will. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And like the phrase in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Those who are merciful to others, treat them with kindness and forgiveness, will be shown mercy. Brothers and sisters, we have to learn one big one, and it's a hard one, boy oh boy. We cannot judge others. Because guess what? Not only you and me, but we are all going to be judged one day. One day we have to give an account of our sins. All kinds of sins, whether it's in thought, in deeds, or actions. All of those things, brothers and sisters, we cannot judge others. The ultimate judge will be given by God Almighty, not us. So do not judge. Judge yourself, but do not judge others. Brothers and sisters, we are awfully close to the time that has ended, and we are going to be on the Beatitude number 6. So I'm just writing that down for my own reference, so when we get together, I'll know where we can pick up. But brothers and sisters, I sincerely hope that you read the Beatitudes and get into God's Word. It is a book of life. It really is, full of scripture, full of hope, full of direction, full of guidance, full of mercy, full of love. It's so important, brothers and sisters. We need to know our Lord more. And we're not going to know it just through prayer as well. But we also need scripture. We need God's word. Active and living God's word. And if you do, invest in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you haven't already, a wonderful resource and a wonderful enlightenment to help us to become closer to God, to know our Lord more, right? We always say, oh, I want to know you, Lord, more. Well, if you want to, seriously, get into his word. Get into his word. And you can start off with the book of John, right? Start off with the book of John. So God bless each and every one of my listeners. God bless you. And I will see you next time here on the Father's Quilt on Radio Maria Canada, the greatest radio station ever. Bye-bye. God bless.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had my way, I wouldn't change a single